Speak to us, your living word, our gracious Father. Inspire us. May the entrance of your word bring light and understanding to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, focusing on the first epistle of John, we are beginning a sermon series which focuses or looks at the confident Christian living. Last Sunday, we had rounded off our reflection on the benediction, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And we had said last Sunday that we need to be a church that is moved and ruled by the Holy Spirit. And that is the only thing that will make the difference between us and what is done in other charities. That we're not just a social club. We are people that are ruled by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the first century Christianity, it was said of the disciples and the apostles that they were turning the world upside down for good. They were reaching out to lives that were hurting. There was this massive, incredible transformation that took place in the life of the people, of many people. And last Sunday, we wondered why the church has suddenly become so powerless. The church is increasingly losing its relevance and losing its prophetic voice to the nations. It could only be possible because perhaps we are perhaps less and less moved and ruled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're saying that the Holy Spirit that moved in the lives of the early disciples and apostles, the same Holy Spirit is still available to us today. And we need to only open ourselves up to Him to move in our hearts, to move through our singing, our ministries, to move through the things we do in the community, to bring life-changing effect in the life of our community. John, who wrote this epistle, is also called the beloved apostle. He wrote the first, the second, and third epistles, letters of John. It is also believed that he wrote the gospel according to St. John and Revelations. And all of these are inspired by the Holy Spirit. All scriptures, the Bible says, are inspired by the Holy Spirit. John wrote this epistle about 40 to 50 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to a group of churches in what is modern-day Turkey. By then, false teaching were already creating confusion and causing some believers to wonder what it meant to be a Christian. They were very unsure. There was this real question about identity. Identity crisis can be really torturing and can be undermining to what we do. So people were not really sure about who they were. And that's really an incredible, damning thing to ever happen to an individual when you lose your identity, lose who you are. That question about who am I becomes really very difficult. So John wrote in verse 3 to 4, as we read, as Richard read to us, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." Now, Apostle John presents to us the incredible joy that comes from our fellowship with God and with one another. The greatest joy in life comes from loving relationships, and we all want such relationships. We know what it means and how badly it affects us and other individuals when there are broken relationships. In fact, it is often said that good health, in the context within which I studied in southeast of Nigeria, good health is not about the metabolic, good metabolic functioning of the body. It's about somehow broken relationships. When relationships are not working well, it could bring about damning experiences in our own physical body. Sometimes you feel heavy in your heart. Sometimes you feel really very tired. Sometimes it feels like, you know, the world should just end or God should just let you go. So we all want good relationship. And yet, as we all know, relationships may also be a source of grief and pain. We may have experienced disappointing relationships, maybe from spouses, from children, from those we care and love about, from dear friends we would have vowed for. At the root of all such disappointments is sin, which causes alienation from God and from one another. But in spite of the reality of such painful relationships, we all still know that true relationship does not consist in the accumulation of wealth or fame, but true joy consists in the experience of true fellowship. And that's why we crave for it. We want to be in good relationship at family levels. True fellowship with one another and with God is the basis for true joy. Fellowship means sharing in common or sharing together. The idea that we have God invites us to be in fellowship, to share together. And the idea that God is inviting us into this wonderful relationship, not just for a few days on earth, but forever, is just mind-blowing. We are unfit to be in this relationship with God. We are very much unfit to be drawn to the table of the Lord as we are drawn together today. But God, in his infinite mercy, invites us, draws us. He says, come, let us reason together. Even if your sins are as dark as scarlet, I'll wash you to be as white as snow. And I've always shared this with us. You know, many years before I first stepped into Scotland, I hadn't seen snow before. And each time we preached from this, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, and I'll wash your sins to be as white as snow. We just say it. And we are like, I'll wash your sin to be as white. And we know that white, it depends on what you mean by white. There are different ideas of white. But so when I first came to Scotland in 2006, I was so desperate to see some snow. Now, I said it some time ago, and there was snow after the service. So I don't believe there will be snow after today's service. I don't expect that to happen. But that was really, I really wanted to see the snow, to see how white snow is. But God invites us into this relationship, and he says, come. He invites us, come. He's not even waiting for us to initiate the move. He says, come. Come. And it's a very special privilege to be invited by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. True fellowship with one another is the basis for true fellowship with God. Now, you will see from our text, John begins with our fellowship with one another before he proceeds to fellowship with God. Some people will want to maintain a relationship with God that does not take into account their relationship with others by their sides. But God does not want us to focus on heaven and be utterly useless. He wants us, as much as we want to be in good relationship with him, to be in good relationship with one another. Perhaps as we reflect on this, you might want to think about those you've said in your life, over my dead body, will I ever forgive? You might want to think about that, your children or those close to your heart, those you've once loved, and for some reasons they hurt you so badly, and I understand it can be painful. And you've said, look, over my dead body, will I ever talk to this person or forgive this person? As we come to the Lord's table, I do not want us to come. I do not say this to make you feel guilty and make you withdraw from the Lord's table. But perhaps it's a time for reconsideration, to think about the love of Christ that has brought you to where you are today, and to think about the possible steps you can take to forgive and to amend wrongs that have already taken place. There's a story about a family that went to the movies. On the way, as they were going in, a young member of the family stopped to pick up some popcorns, as is traditionally done. By the time he got into the theater, the lights were already dim and he could not find his family. So he was moving back and forth through the aisles looking for them. And then, in his disappointment, he shouted aloud, "Does anyone here recognize me?" Now, even though today it is light in our congregation here, we can see people's faces. There could be people who feel like that young man, lost, isolated, disconnected from everyone. Deep down, they are silently crying out, "Does anyone here recognize me? Does anyone here know that I am here? I've been coming to St. John's for 15 years, for 20 years. Does anyone at all recognize me? Does anyone know that I did not come to service today? Could anyone at all recognize that I am in pain, that I am deeply sorrowing, and I'm broken right inside? Is it that my brokenness is not seen or recognized by anyone? Could anyone here recognize me?" Someone here might be crying that cry. Could I say to you that we hope someone here recognizes your cry? But as we come to the Lord's table, we come assured that the Lord knows the deep pains of our hearts. He recognizes our struggles. There are many who long for true Christian fellowship. They want to be part and parcel. They are tired of being on the fringe. They are tired of being on the margin of the congregation. They want to come right in. And perhaps we need to break a little bit from our comfort zones, from our circle of friends. I do not want us to break and let go of our friends. But if our circle of friends becomes such that we cannot let others in, then there is a need for reconsideration. Fellowship with God and with one another really matters. It draws our attention to the two great commandments, to love God with all your being and to love your neighbors as yourself. The Bible is given to us to help us glorify God as we experience the deep joy of close relationship with Him and close relationship with one another. Now, I worshipped in one congregation. My family worshipped somewhere some time ago. And although we arrived quite early before others, but apart from, you know, the color of the skin, but there was this possibility of someone walking in because I think we had sat on the person's seat. And to say, "Oh, there are new faces here today." You know, so. But we've also been to places that people are very welcoming and very reasonable. And I hope that people will come to St. John's and feel a sense of welcome. That somebody comes in early and takes your seat and you are happy with that. That you're not tied so much to a particular seat. That if someone else sits there, then you are most uncomfortable throughout the worship. Now, I can understand that some of the pews were pews that your family sat on. And I do not want to undermine that because that's really powerful. It's a powerful memory to keep. But can we, in the sense of fellowship and brotherhood and sisterhood, be open to such that if anyone takes the seat you've always sat, you are gracious and thankful? As we draw to the Lord's table, may we not settle for occasional distant fellowship. Let us make time to spend with Him in word and in prayer. Let us work at our relationships with other believers, our families, friends, and neighbors. As we deepen our fellowship with God and with one another, our reading says we will grow in great joy, not only in this life, but also for all eternity. Let us come to this holy table. The Lord invites us. He's here already to bless, to heal, to lift, to encourage. Amen.